Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. I am your host, Evangelist White. Please bow your heads and humble your hearts unto God as we go to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, we come to you first thanking you for your mercy and grace. We do not take it for granted anymore, this precious life that you have given to all of us. I ask that you guard my lips and only allow me to release what you want me to speak. I ask that this message touch each and every one of our hearts and allow us to ponder about it in our minds. We give you glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. It is in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen and amen. I got ahead of myself because I was thinking in my mind the topic that God has given me today, this morning actually, is agape love. And my husband was kind of teasing me yesterday because I call it agape. He said, babe, don't get on the radio saying agape love. But I'm going to say it, so agape love. But the correct way of saying it is agape love. Agape love is not like a brotherly love. It is the most self-sacrificing love that there is. This type of love is the love that God has shown for his own children. This type of love is what was displayed on the cross by Jesus Christ for you and for myself. Agape is not used in the Bible to refer to a romantic or sexual kind of love. Agape is selfless, it's sacrificial, and it's unconditional love. Unconditional love that is always giving and impossible to take or be a taker. It devotes total commitment to seek your highest best, no matter how anyone may respond. This form of love is totally selfless and does not change whether the love given is returned or not. Sacrificial love is not based on a feeling, but a determined act of the will, a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above our own. But this type of love does not come naturally to humans. Because of our fallen nature, we are incapable of producing such a love, such a pure love. If we are to love as God loves, that's agape love, can only come from its true source. This is the love which has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us when we became his children. Jesus loves us with an agape love. And I truly believe this is the same love that should be displayed to others, especially for those of us who are married. And the first scripture I'm going to go about to this is actually Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. That's Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. And the word of God reads, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself, God, us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Now, we are to have an agape love for God. According to Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." The thing about agape love that I love is that it's an unconditional love. See, some of us only love with conditions. I love you if you do this. I love you if you do that. But when you love with an agape love, it's no conditions. It's unconditional. I love you no matter what, whether you do what I want you to or whether you don't, whether you're doing this or whether you're not. That's an agape love. And it's not just a feeling, but again, as the definition was saying, it's something deep-rooted that only God could allow the Holy Ghost to place inside of the believer. His heart. We also need to have an agape love for all men, even our enemies. And I know a lot of us say, well, no, but let's go to the Word of God. Matthew 5, 43 through 46. And it is in red, so this is Jesus speaking. "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sin, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if we love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? You know, I got to pause right there because I was speaking to my husband, Elder White, a few days ago about this same very thing. And I said, babe, you know, this world is just getting to the point where, God, you don't even want to really live in it anymore. I said, let's just pack up and let's move to a very remote place and everything. And he kind of laughed and he said, but, babe, what about the ones that need it? What about we can't go to a place where we all that are knowing how to be obedient and follow the word and do well, we can't just go and be there? Because what about the people, you know, and when I read right here, for it says, for if we love them which love you, what reward have ye? See, it's easy to love people that are loving you. It's easy to be good to people who are being good to you. But can you love the unlovable? And if we really stop and think for a moment, there were times in our life that we weren't the most lovable as people, right? If that is even a word. But we weren't always in a place where we were nice and sweet and kind, and God loved on us. Excuse me. He pursued us. He continued to pursue us, and he continued to love us. And that's what we're supposed to have for others. And I tell you, a lot of people can be a thorn in your side because they don't make it easy. Because their attitudes are nasty, or they're rude, or they're standoff. But I guarantee you, anytime you see a person who is just very quick to be nasty with their mouth and disrespectful and ugly and bitter and resentful, that anger comes from a place, and that place is called hurt. And oftentimes people don't never get that hurt resolved. And because they never get that hurt resolved, they turn into that type of person. But can you imagine what this world would be like if we were able to identify, instead of always wanting to rebuke and call something out, if we were able to identify and see what's really going on with these people and love them the way God loved us, through our mess, through our pain, through our ugliness? Can you imagine? Although 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the chapter on love, there is no book that speaks more about agape than 1 John. Two important things come out of 1 John. The first is that it is inconsistent and false to claim that we have an agape love while not having agape love for believers. We have to, if we say we have an agape love for God, we also have to have an agape love for the believers of God. Amen? We cannot love God without loving brothers and sisters also who love him. I find it so amazing that I can hear people say, oh, praise God, I love Jesus. And then our brothers and sisters that we see, God is someone that we cannot see with our natural eye, but I can see my brother and my sister, and we have no love for them. But they are an image of God, and they have God on the inside, but we cannot identify with that and relate and have love for them. Something is wrong with that picture, and we have to go back and really give a self-examination of ourselves to see if we really have the love of Christ in us. Amen? The second is that it's inconsistent and false to claim that we have an agape love of God if we don't obey him. It is impossible to love God while ignoring what he says. I heard a preacher say, you cannot walk with God and hold hands with the devil. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We have to obey God's word. Those of us who claim that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we have to obey. You can't just love, 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 love and not obey. It's the same thing in a marriage. I can't just tell my husband that I love him, I love him, I love him, but I don't obey the words that God is giving him, the vision that he's given us for this marriage and this relationship. It's a two-part. You have to love with an agape love, but you also have to obey the word of God. Amen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We speak oftentimes in the church, in the house of God, preachers in general, we speak a lot about a lot of different things, but when it comes to love, we don't hold on to love no more like we need to. We don't, you know, love is supposed to be able to cover a multitude of sins. Love is something that's supposed to be sincere and genuine that we have for our brothers and sisters. Are we our brother's keeper? Love is supposed to be able to help you endure and go through. And if we can really come together as the body of Christ, and we can really not just be church as usual, but we can start thinking kingdom mind, kingdom building, kingdom people. Can you imagine the love that we could really display out in the world? It cannot be where this, you know, denomination is against this denomination. Baptist ain't no better than Pentecostal and Methodist or what have you. It's about the love. It's about the love of Christ. That's what we are supposed to be displaying. We are supposed to be displaying love. By loving kindness have I drawn thee. How are you drawing others? Sometimes we are going to be the only Bible that people will ever read. What is your Bible reading? The Bible says, you will know my disciples by the love they show one to another. We are his disciples. What type of love are we showing to our brothers and sisters? Do we still have aughts and holding on to things and have unforgiveness in our hearts, but go into the house of God and try to throw up our hands and say they're holy? And we can love on God, someone that we cannot see, but cannot love on our brothers and sisters. Today, I really need us to get this. I really need us to understand love. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, the way of love. And here it's saying charity, and we all know the definition of charity is love. So I'm not adding or taking away from God's holy word. Just where charity is, I'm going to say love. Amen? Amen. Excuse me. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, have not love, it is profit me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three things, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. And that was 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, 1 through 13. Charity is another word for agape love. It suffers long. Agape love doesn't quit. The harder of the fight or the longer the struggle, the more committed that the agape love becomes. Many of us think we can't do this, but you're wrong. You can do this. You can, because God already bestowed a sufficient love to be able to be long-suffering. Let me go to Romans real quick. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Romans 5. Romans 5 and 5, and it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Amen. All we have to do is ask the Holy Ghost to help us, and he will release a river of divine love to flow from you to help you when you have someone who is frustrating you so much. Amen. Love is another word of kind, and to be adaptable or complement others to needs, which means you don't demand, or we can't demand for others to be like us. And this word will make you ouch, because I was this type way. You know, although I was kind, I could not understand, I couldn't comprehend in my own mind why people found it so hard to be, you know, nice, kind. But now, as God is revealing his word in Revelation, it means that you don't demand for others to be like you, but instead you bend over backwards to become what others need you to be for them. Woo! How many of us can really do that? Mm-mm. We like, oh no, you don't want to, okay. Well, we're supposed to bend over backwards. We're supposed to, whatever we got to do to save and win a soul, amen? So we need to be able to serve and change in order to meet others' needs. Another thing we need to make sure of is that our speech or talk, our love is kind, especially the tone of voice we use. Amen? It's not so much sometimes as what you say. It's how you say it and how the other person is receiving it. Love does not envy. Someone who is consumed with his own desires and plans, someone who cares about only getting their way and they don't care how they get it, they would sacrifice anything. They are very self-centered. This is a selfish love. It's not envied. Amen. Vaunteth not, a lot of self-talk. Someone who always promotes himself and exaggerates his own virtues. We have to remember that love does not go around talking about itself all the time, constantly exaggerating and twisting the facts to make themselves look better or more important than others. Agape love is so strong, it's so pure and confident, that it doesn't need to speak of itself or accomplishments, even if they are greater than anyone else's. Instead, it focuses on the accomplishment of others in order to build them up and make them feel more valuable and more secure. Remember, agape love is focused on giving of itself in order to meet the other people's needs. Love is not puffed up, which means to be proud or to be swollen or inflated, someone who was filled with pride or arrogance. Paul tells that love is never deceived into thinking too highly of itself. Paul was telling the Corinthian church that the arrogance of the leaders was a primary source of division and rivalry in the church. Never think that you have arrived, and always keep a teachable spirit. Amen? All the leaders were very proud and arrogant and did not know and did not show love to others. They thought they were better than anyone else. That's where sometimes we often get. We think because God has done shared a little bit with us and he's done revealed a little bit with us, we get beside ourselves sometimes and we start acting and putting our place in God opposed to lowering and humbling ourselves and giving that hand to help someone else get where we are, or if not further. Amen. Love does not act unseemly. In the Greek, the word meant to act in the unbecoming manner, meaning someone who is tactless or thoughtless or careless and inconsiderate of others. The person would have bad manners to others. They would use harsh and brutal language, showing that the person is uncaring, insensitive, unkind. Basically, someone who acts ugly, someone who acts nasty, someone who acts mean. And these are not my words. These are the words that the Holy Ghost has given, that has given the definition for unseemly. If you put character 5 and 6 together, it would sound like this. Love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time, constantly and exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important to the sight of others. Love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, snobbish, or clannish manner. Love is not rude or discourteous. It is not careless or thoughtless, nor does it carry on in a fashion that would be considered insensitive to others. Love seeks not its own. This is a person who is such a pursuit to get his way or what he wants that he would search, seek, investigate, twist the facts, put words in other people's mouths, try to keep people to promises they never made, or seek various other methods to turn situations to his or her benefit. In other words, this person is a what? Manipulator. Someone who is a manipulator is not showing love. What they are showing is how to be dishonest. Remember, speaking half-truth or white lies is not the way of agape love behaves. Love does not manipulate situations or devise a plan that will twist situations to their own disadvantage. Love is not easily provoked. Provoke portrays someone coming alongside another and begins to poke or prick or stick someone with a sharp object or provoking with words. We all know what words to say to provoke our spouse in a negative way. Even though we know the outcome of what will happen, if we continue to provoke them, we still do it. And they will keep doing this until the other person becomes provoked because they finally had enough of the other person's relentless actions that they respond in an aggressively way, usually ending up in a quarrel or a fight. Remember, love does not deliberately engage in actions or words that are so sharp they cause an ugly or violent response. Think no evil. Paul uses the word thinketh, which is the Greek, which is an accounting term that would be better translated to count or to reckon. It literally meant to credit to someone's account. Think about a bookkeeper that keeps very detailed records. Just as they keep records of every debit and credit in the book, they also keep very detailed records of every wrongdoing that is done to them. They store it in their memory, every mistake, every fault, every grievances, disappointment, and failures that someone has made against them. Rather than forgiving the person and letting it go, they will carefully maintain records of each wrongdoing that was done to them. This is definitely not the way love behaves. And one thing about Evangelist White, I try to be as real as I can. This was me. I said it was just because I had a detailed mind, but really did not know it was being camouflaged that I was keeping a record of wrongdoing. And I just ask right now, God, that you will forgive me and anyone else that is reading this that is saying, ouch, amen. Imagine if God brought us every wrongdoing you did in the past before him. Thank God that he doesn't do that. God forgave us. God decided that he wouldn't deal with us according to our sins, and that's how we should deal with people according to theirs, amen. Woo! Rejoices not with iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Have you ever secretly rejoiced when you heard that someone you don't like or someone you disapproved of had gotten in some kind of trouble? And if we can just be honest, we do. We'll say, you know, let somebody church close or let somebody, you know, start having hard times. I remember from my own personal self when I was hitting down and I was leveled to the ground, many people rejoiced in that, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't rejoice when someone else is down. In other words, you know, we should remember that one day a storm is going to come to us as well. So instead of rejoicing from now on when our brothers and sisters hit it, how about we pray? How about we offer some compassion and love? How about we look at ourselves and remember that we too may come across something in this area and we want someone to bestow love and compassion and understanding for us? Amen. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Paul uses the word beareth in the Greek. It means to cover, as a roof covers a house, and could also mean protection. Amen. We need to take this and put it in our marriage. As we go through difficult times in our marriage, we must be there for one another and lift each other up when we are going through tough times. Rather than expose people's flaws, we must conceal, cover, and protect our mates. Amen. We must hover over our mates as a protection to get through certain storms in their life. Love beareth all things. Doesn't mean that love is stupid or blind. It just means that love is so filled with faith, it pushes all the negative realities out of the way. It doesn't ignore the problem or challenges. It just makes a choice to see beyond the problem and conflicts. It continues to look for the best attributes in every person. They see potential through the eyes instead of criticizing them. Love harpeth all things. Love always expects the best in someone else. Amen. My grandmother used to always tell me, baby, there's a little bit of Jesus in everybody. Some people, you just got to look a little bit deeper than others. Amen. Love never fails. Paul ends the chapter with a very powerful one. He tells us that love never fails or disappoints us. Everyone in this world at some point in our lives will disappoint us. Amen. Our parents, our family, children, spouses, people on your job, people at church, friends, college professors. But God's love, his agape love, will never disappoint or fail us. It is a love that is reliable. It is dependable. This love is constant and never changing. It is a love that always is reliable and true. I pray that this message that God has given me today will help us. It's so good meat to go back and just really look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the book of love, and just ask God, if you are not displaying any of these, to start displaying them to not only ourselves, to not only our husbands and wives, but we also got to do it to our enemies. Amen. I thank you for taking the time to listen to Food for Your Soul. I am your host, Evangelist White, and if God says the same, I'll be on again next week, same time. You all have a blessed weekend. If nobody else doesn't tell you, God loves you, and so do I.